Today, I introduce you to Stacey Vaneska. She's the CEO of The Social Click. And today, she shares with us three simple tips for nailing your salon's digital presence online. But more than that, she's also a business owner. And she shares some great insights to life, business, and I really loved our chat. Maybe a little bit too much because we went slightly over time and longer than usual, but you'll soon see why. Let's jump into the show.
You're listening to the Salon Owners Collective Podcast, where each week we share stories and expertise from business owners like you, plus experts, influencers, and Larissa's actionable steps that will transform your business and your life. And now your host, Larissa McLeman.
Hey, Stacey, thank you so much for joining me on the show today.
Thank you so much for having me.
You're very welcome. Now, Stacey, your business is The Social Click. Mm-hmm. Tell me a little bit about what does The Social Click do? How did you start it? And how did you get into business?
Yeah, I'd love to. So what I do is I help small business owners kind of be seen and heard in a crowded marketplace. I think everyone kind of says that these days, but it is getting really crowded, particularly online. So what I like to focus on is content creation and social media for my clients, and working on how can we create the best possible online presence for those businesses, for them to be seen by their target audience. So not by everyone, but by their exact target audience. So we do a lot of work around that, and then picking social channels and then looking at the kinds of content to create that can kind of bring their presence to the people that they want to connect with. Getting to how I got here, is actually quite a journey. I started out as a journalist, and I worked in newspapers, and then finally worked my way into women's magazines, which is where I really wanted to work. It was like a dream come true when I finally broke into the women's magazine sphere here in Australia. But sadly, it wasn't to be, and I got made redundant within about 6 months when the magazine that I was working on folded. And
oh no!
Yeah, and we all sadly were left to sort of fend for ourselves. So that was a massive turning point for me. It was, I guess, people talk about that aha moment.
Yeah,
and it definitely sort of made me reassess my goals and what I wanted to do and where I wanted to be. So after that, I kind of changed my focus away from print and onto digital. And then I went on to manage some really big women's lifestyle websites globally. And that kind of led me into social media strategy, starting from probably 2013. And by the end of 2015, I kind of decided to go out on my own and start my own business. So it was something that if you asked me way back when I decided that, I wanted to be the editor of Vogue one day, it never would have crossed my mind at all that I would be sort of running my own little digital marketing business out of my dining room. But here we are. And that's kind of, my journey. And when people kind of say, you know, where do you see the business? Where do you see yourself in 2 years? If there's anything I've learned, is that who knows, you know, who knows where you're going to be. And I kind of feel like I realized my childhood dream a little bit, getting to work on a fashion magazine.
Yeah.
And everything else now is a bit of a bonus. So, So that's kind of my story. I also teach digital marketing as well. So I've kept my fashion roots there. I teach digital marketing at a fashion college in Sydney. So we do digital marketing, but we really do focus on the fashion and beauty industries, which is really cool. So I get to kind of still have that influence, that real women's lifestyle kind of influence, whilst doing what I do with small businesses.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's awesome. So you have essentially you help small business owners like salon owners mm-hmm. Identify and target their ideal client, build a following and target those, you know, specifically with those ideal clients with a bit of what to post, a strategy around what to post, when to post and how to drive them in the door. Would that be a good analogy of what you help businesses do?
Yeah, absolutely. So more and more we are sort of focusing on paid social, but mm-hmm. I don't think that people do realize that paid social is an accompaniment to your reach organically. So creating content like blog posts and like social media content that you can share with your audience organically without, you know, sponsored posts and boosting things and putting some money behind ad campaigns, really builds your brand. You kind of need to have that identity first before you really start jumping into, I think, you know, the whole Facebook advertising thing that's going on right now that everyone's really intrigued with at the moment.
I really agree with that. And when you say audience, we really mean potential clients.
Absolutely. Yeah. Definitely. Definitely. And I think identifying that that audience is key. It's really interesting, actually. It's something that we've sort of been studying with my class just this week, and delving really deeply into target audiences and the profile of your current customer base as well, which is really important for particularly, you know, small business owners and, you know, bricks and mortar as well. So just like salons. And it's something I think that, you know, as a business owner, you need to analyze even every couple of years because it changes so quickly as well.
Agreed.
And knowing exactly who you're targeting, therefore, you know how to reach them as well. So I kind of think that it's like, you know, deciphering the code to the lock on the treasure chest. Like it's there waiting for you. You just have to work out what it is.
I'm really pleased to hear you say that because in my course, Turn Likes into Real Bookings, it's an online course for salon owners. It's the first module is identifying your ideal client. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I struggle with it because it's, you know, I know that people come on the course and they really want to learn what to post and how to get them in the door and what's the secret. But actually, you need to do this first. It's like it's the foundation, isn't it?
Absolutely.
You can't do anything until you know who you're talking to. Otherwise, you're talking to nobody.
That's exactly right. Actually, one of my favorite quotes is it's by a marketer. His name's Seth Godin, but his quote is, "Everyone is not your customer." And I love that quote. I just think it's so true. You know, if you're targeting everyone, you're targeting no one, just as you said, you know. So, yeah. You want people to hear you. And in order to have that happen, you need to know which people they are.
That's right. But I mean, that's the power of social media. You know, back in the day, you would put an ad in the newspaper and it would go out to your local area of 10,000 people. And you paid the price for 10,000 people to see your ad, which was really expensive.
Yeah.
But actually in that local area, probably only 500 fit the type of client that you're wanting to attract.
Yeah.
But with social media, we can only just target those 500 people, give or take.
Yeah.
And forget the other. So that's right. That's right. Yeah. Okay. So tell me, what do you think is, what has been your secret to success with your social click company?
Yeah. So the first and foremost thing for me is really enjoying what I'm doing. So, you know, just as I sort of loved working on a fashion magazine, I actually really enjoy teaching the things that I know at the Fashion Institute. And I really love helping small business owners create amazing social and content strategies. I enjoy the whole process of that. But as with any business, you know, it's a hard task enjoying every single thing that you have to do. There's stuff that, you know, even I don't really enjoy, like the invoicing and all that kind of thing. So one of the biggest things for me is, and how I kind of define success, I guess, is being able to, you know, really enjoy what you're doing while you're doing it. And those things that you don't enjoy, delegate or outsource. That's probably been one of the shining lights for me. One of those, another aha moment, I guess, is just taking some stuff off my plate. Because the thing is, it's really interesting, you know, when you really break it down, if you're procrastinating on a particular task and you're putting it off, what's actually happening is you're wasting time. And then if you convert those hours that you've wasted into dollars, you're literally flushing money down the toilet. So it wasn't until, you know, I kind of realized that I realized that, you know, either delegating some stuff or outsourcing externally was actually going to save me money. So that was one of the biggest things, I think, one of the biggest kind of shining light moments. The other thing is also that, you know, success is different for everyone. You know, I think running your own race is really important. I've worked with a lot of clients over the past couple of years that have kind of been really obsessed with what their competitors are doing. And that's a big hurdle for a small business owner, I think. And, you know, especially seeing what everyone else is doing on social media, it is a massive, it's just a massive kind of hurdle. So whilst you can gain a lot of inspiration from that, sometimes, you know, you have to think about it like this. If you're constantly trying to keep up with the Joneses, you're always going to be behind them because you're trying to keep up with them. So,
well said.
Yeah. So, and like I said, it's been a massive hurdle. And, you know, and don't get me wrong, I sometimes get that, you know, competitoritis or whatever we want to call it. And just get a little bit consumed with, you know, what other people are doing and what other people are charging, all of that kind of thing. But guess what? It's not always about having the biggest space, the most customers or clients, or the highest revenue. It's about what makes you happy as well. So, you know, for me personally, I kind of deem myself successful because I get to do what I really enjoy every day and make a living from it. My schedule's flexible. And, you know, one of the things that kind of really beat me down, even when I had my dream job, was schlepping into the city on a bus in the rain with thousands of other people in peak hour traffic. It was horrible for me. It really, you know, I hated it. So for me personally, it's, you know, remember why you started. Remember why you're doing what you're doing. Yeah. The goalposts do change, obviously, and you have to be driven and ambitious and looking for the next challenge to grow. But also, you need to kind of be happy with what you've got in the moment as well and just allow yourself to just be and to just enjoy that every now and then. So
I think that's absolute gold advice, really, you know. Because you're right, with the social platforms of the way that they are, you know, what other people are doing is so in your face. You can't ignore it. And I must say that it's only been recently that I've managed, even for myself, even though I must say I've given this advice to people, but just for myself, you know, is choosing or recognizing when you start to feel anxious that you're not keeping up and then actually choosing not to do that.
Yeah.
So I know there's some certain places where I've recognized when I go there, I start to feel anxious that I'm not doing it right or whatever it is. So I actually don't go there anymore.
Yeah, it's hard. It's really hard to do. And like I said, I'm the same as you. You know, I give this advice all the time as well, but sometimes I find myself falling into it. You can't help it. You know, even if I'm just lying in bed and scrolling through my Instagram, it's just like, oh wow, like look at what everybody else is doing.
I know.
You know, why aren't I at that level? Or, you know, why aren't I posting on Instagram 5 times a day?
That's right.
You know, so it's really difficult, and it is a piece of advice that I give constantly, but that I also have to remind myself constantly, just as you do as well, I guess, that we, you know, we're running our own race, and who knows what it's like inside somebody else's salon or somebody else's small business? We don't know. It's social media is also a projection.
Yes.
It's a projection of something that's more aspirational than perhaps what things really look like. So we need to remember that as well.
Well said. All right. You have for us to help the salon owner that's listening, how to three tips on how she can create her social or digital footprint or strategy.
Yeah.
So can't wait to hear them. Tell us, what is your first tip?
Okay. So number one is email marketing. So email is so important, especially now we're kind of the digital generation, even though, you know, salons are bricks and mortar stores, it's still a direct line to nurture your customers or your clients. So I don't think, just from my experience, enough businesses in this industry are really using email to its maximum potential. So, you know, with a really good email client, and I'm not sure you, Larissa, might have, you know, some email clients that you prefer or that you suggest, you know, for the salon owners in your group. But sending just some reminders at, you know, 6 or 12 week periods to entice customers back is really great. Sharing important info with them, like new staff members, if there's been any kind of press coverage for the salon, is really good too. I just think in terms of retaining customers, it's really important. And if you haven't, you know, taken up, you know, email yet, now is the time to start. So that's probably my action step there is, you know, starting small and getting email addresses from your clients as they're maybe just at the end, as they're paying. Just ask for an quick email address. What's your email address? Type it in and then you can pop it into either your, you know, CRM or your mail client, or even just using your Gmail. You can set up a distribution list and then it's there, and then work your way up, you know, starting off with the basics and then using those email addresses as a way to contact these clients, because we are all on email. Everyone is all the time, whether you're standing at the bus stop or, you know, waiting to pick the kids up in the car or whatever you're doing, people are checking their email multiple times a day.
Even the kids are on email.
Absolutely.
My 10-year-old, you know, he's on email.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go back to your original question, email client. Now, I'll just decipher that word email client, because for us, a client is the person in our chair.
Right.
So, So email client is the software or the platform that we run our emails from.
Mm-hmm.
So I think my recommendation is MailChimp is the best one to go for. It's really easy. It's designed for high use of images and design, which is really important in the hair and beauty space, that it looks aesthetically beautiful and on brand. And MailChimp is perfect for that.
Mm-hmm.
And it typically will sync with the salon software, the booking come what you call CRM, client management program, and point of sale wrapped in together. So for example, I use Timely, and a lot of my salon use Timely salon software, and that syncs with MailChimp. So as the client comes in and you get them to fill in a new client card, they'll put all their details in. What you're saying, Stacey, is make sure you ask for the email address.
Absolutely.
And we had this conversation before about, you know, you went to, you can tell the story, but, you know, don't ask, do you mind? Just ask for it.
Yeah.
Tell us about your David Jones experience.
Yeah, I was in David Jones and I was buying a baby shower gift, and everyone at David Jones is always really lovely anyway. So I quite like going there. I don't get to go there often enough, I don't think. I do a lot of my shopping online. So I went in and I had all this stuff with me and I'm paying at the counter, and she just says, oh, you know, that'll be whatever price. What's your email address? It's almost like when you go, some other stores do it. I think Costco does it. They always ask you for your postcode, and you don't think twice really about giving someone your postcode. And I think giving your email address is exactly the same. She told me what the price was, and then she said, what's your email address? And I just said, it's this, and da 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 da. And she typed it in and I paid. paid the money and that was it. I didn't really think twice about it until even this conversation, to be honest.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's really important. And even David Jones thinks it's important. So, you know, you're following the big boys by doing it. And, you know, if someone as big as David Jones is on board with that, I think that all of us small businesses should get on board too.
Yeah. So for starters, your recommendation is to send reminders when they haven't been back at 7 and 12 weeks. That's my suggestion, 7 and 12 weeks. Mm-hmm. They haven't replied. And start a monthly, usually, you know, a monthly communication, because it's about being top of mind, right?
Yeah, exactly. And it's really not that hard. I totally agree with you on MailChimp. It's really user-friendly. Even someone with very minimal skills can kind of drop some images in and some text. It's really easy to use, easy to send as well.
Yeah.
And you just want to, especially if you've got some social going, which we'll talk about later, you know, you can just share some images of, you know, before and afters and things like that. And, you know, you will send that out to that database, even if you're only starting off with a small group of maybe 30 or whatever, you're going to build that up as you go. But they'll be happy to hear from you because they are loyal customers anyway.
That's right. So, you already have a relationship with them.
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Let's talk about blogging and websites, because I think that's a really important key to the a digital strategy, and this is your tip number two.
Yeah, absolutely. So websites are so important. Your website is basically your online shop front, which is kind of hard to get your head around when you think, well, actually, you know, I have my store and people come in here and I have a totally different relationship with them than what I do with people online. Of course you do, but people look for content and blogs and websites to add to the legitimacy or credibility of someone that they're considering going to. So we're probably talking more about new clients or customers here rather than, you know, trying to retain customers. Because, you know, if you think about, you would never actually want your salon to be looking a mess at the end of the day. And I think the same should go for your website. Mm. So it's your, like I said, it's your online shop front and you really want to look the part so that when potential customers do land there by whichever means, you're going to help them along with making that purchasing decision, which is whether they should come in or whether they should perhaps you sell some products online as well. So by actually having your house in order online, so to speak, we'll actually help them along on that journey. And then in terms of retaining customers, your website is the place where you can actually show your leadership in your field. So we talked a little bit earlier, Larissa, about blog posting and how important that is with the storytelling of your brand. So whether it is just to share some insights on a topic that you find really interesting or a new trend that's come up that everyone in Hollywood is doing, for instance, these blog posts don't have to be super long. You can also kind of pepper them with lots of images, but it's just the fact that that content is turning over. So there's new content coming up on your website, I would say at least once a month. It helps you in being able to be searched for through Google. And it also obviously, you know, can raise your profile when people are looking for different trends or, you know, different things that are going on within that industry.
Yeah, because I think what the trap can be or what can happen is that there's a lot of focus on the social posting and there's a lot of before and after photos happening, and whether people hear about your brand at a party or whether they see it on social media, they come to your website to further validate, right?
Absolutely.
And if they come to the website and there's nothing fresh on your website and it's a bit stagnant, it's almost like demerit points.
Yeah.
I think I want to go to these people. Oh, but their website doesn't really look or doesn't match the brand. No, this is where they help is the clincher almost, isn't it? Yes,
yeah.
I will take action with this brand. They look like it's a good match for me.
Exactly, but, right. It's definitely, and it's an extension of your brand as well. So you have to keep that in mind because people are looking at the whole package as well. So, you know, there's been lots of times, you know, me personally, where I'm looking for a particular service in my local area, and I will look at if they have a website. And even if they do have a website, because I'm kind of, you know, in digital marketing though, I mean, I guess it's a bit different, but I'll kind of scroll to the bottom and have a look at when the last time that website was updated, because that's important to me. I kind of feel like if they haven't sort of put that on their to-do list to update their website regularly, well, firstly, I can't trust a lot of the information on there because it might be outdated.
Yeah.
And secondly, they haven't given it the value that it deserves, because I am coming to your business, to your shopfront online. I may not have purchased anything yet, but I'm in the midst of making a decision, and you haven't given the website, you know, enough value to get me over the line.
Yeah. And it's kind of like, if you can't give the website the value to show me how good you are, then what's it going to be like when I come inside? Is there the same lack of care, if, for example?
Yeah.
In the mind of the visiting client. So, yeah, I totally agree.
Mm.
I totally agree. Okay. So I'm a big advocate for, you know, for blogging for all of those reasons. So I think that's really great. Thanks for that.
Yeah, excellent.
All right. Tell us your tip number three.
Okay, so my last tip is on social media, and it was really difficult for me to think about what would be the one piece of advice that I would give when it comes to social. But if I absolutely have to, this would be it. And it would be to stick to one or two platforms. So, you know, if you are really great at Instagram, stick to that and just nail it. Be the best you can at it. Post a couple of times a day if you can, and learn as much about it as possible as well to help you kind of really grow that platform. Or perhaps, you know, it might be Facebook. So if it's Facebook, the same thing. But the best thing about just focusing on one or two platforms is that what's going to happen is you're going to learn so much about that platform, about the audience that is coming through that platform, that when it comes to maybe in the next quarter or even 6 months down the track, when you kind of think, oh, okay, maybe we'll start a new platform. We might start, I don't know, a YouTube channel or something else. You're going to already have a lot of info that you've gained from the audience that you've already got on those one or two platforms that you've stuck to. You know, there's no point having a presence on every social media network just because everybody else is, if you're doing them all poorly. So, you know, it's a good idea to go and secure your business name as your handle on a couple of, you know, other social networks that you think maybe one day you might actually use. So perhaps YouTube, maybe Pinterest, whatever else you think might be relevant. But I would really, really stick to focusing. And if you can, I would focus on just one. One at a time is usually enough.
Yep.
Because what you want to do is you want to get really consistent and you want to kind of build up your brand presence on that platform. And you need to have, you know, that consistency as well in your brand across, you know, actually at your salon, on your website, and then on your social media, so that people can see that all the parts add up to this one whole as well. And I think that if you're scattered and you're trying to do a lot of different things on different platforms, you really lose that.
So you lose the strong, clear and consistent message.
Exactly.
Because you're just dribbling around in all the places.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's going to affect, you know, brand awareness.
Yeah.
And then people are going to kind of wonder, well, is this all connected and does this work? Because what we kind of often find ourselves doing is we haven't created enough content for whatever platform, and then so we're reposting other people's stuff perhaps, and then it's not quite in line with your brand, but you kind of think, oh, I haven't posted anything today. I've got to post at least something. So, you know, and it just becomes it just becomes a chore, really.
Or you fall into overwhelm. Now, what I find the biggest thing that I come across when talking with salon owners is that they, just as you said it right then, oh my God, I haven't posted anything today, what will I post? And then you fall into overwhelm because, you know, there's a sort of panic around what do I post? Yeah. Will I get it right? Will it be perfect? And as a result, either nothing happens. Well, typically, actually, nothing happens. And so there's long gaps. There's no posting at all. So what you're saying is focus, get regular and consistent, and get really practiced and good at one thing before you even look at the next, to avoid that overwhelming feeling.
Absolutely. I'm a big advocate of calendarizing this stuff. So even, you know, block out, you know, it might be an hour a week. It might be a little bit longer. I'm also a big advocate of batching. So if you can get a whole bunch of content together, if you put aside, I would say 2 to 3 hours, you know, maybe even every month, it depends how often you want to post. But if you're posting to Instagram, say once a day, you really want to put aside some time. If it works for you to do that once a week and it's just an hour and that's all you can do, great. If you want to do it for the month and put aside half a day, maybe 3 hours, 4 hours, you know, put it in the calendar and that time is blocked out for you. It might even be that it's unfortunately on a Sunday evening. But if it's only once a month, it's going to make your life so much easier come, you know, that whole next calendar month when you already have that content ready to go. And then to take it to another level, if you use a scheduling tool, you really won't even have to worry too much about the physical posting as well, depending on what platform you're focusing on for that quarter.
Yeah, I think there's real value in that, because not only do you manage your own time, but you're more likely to get a consistent strategy, aren't you, that you've thought about, because you've got focused time to think about rather than just sort of the scatter attempt.
Yeah, and the thing with content creation is really that it takes time to get those creative juices flowing. It sounds a bit funny, but it really does. Like, it really takes actually sitting down and brainstorming and thinking and maybe even, you know, looking at some inspiration posts and, you know, then looking at your branding and kind of working out, okay, what do we want to focus on? Perhaps there's something in particular, a color range you want to focus on for the next month. And, or maybe it's analyzing some trends for the new season that you want to focus on, whatever it may be. Those ideas aren't going to come just as, you know, you're doing a million other things and answering the phone and typing emails and organizing staff for the next week and that kind of thing. Those creative ideas aren't going to come then. So you have to
give the
time and the patience for that creativity to come, which is why I love batching, because I feel like, particularly for me, and I know a lot of my clients, once they get into the flow, it's harder for some than others, but putting aside half a day, they start off really slow, but then they gather up momentum. And that's why putting aside that time is so important, because you don't want to be called away. Because what happens is then that stops the flow and you kind of lose that momentum, and then you have to kind of kickstart it all up again when you come back to it.
I so agree. And in fact, for you that's listening, I have some tools for you, which I'll put on the website under this podcast. And that is the 5 posts your clients actually want to see. So when you go to do that batching, or you're sitting there doing your strategy, you've got a framework to work within. Just to, you know, give some clarity and some structure to that thinking. So I'll put that on the website. Okay, that's I think that's all really good, solid advice. What do you use for scheduling, Stacey?
So I personally love buffer.com, mostly because I manage so many different platforms. But again, with Instagram, it is a little clunky. So you can schedule in advance, but then it will send you a notification. So you still have to actually physically kind of post it on your phone, but it does send you that reminder to do it. So even if you might be busy at that time, but the reminder's there on your phone. So you know that you can come back to it a bit later and then post that Instagram pic. So apart from Instagram, though, everything else with Buffer is really seamless. So and there's another one called Later. So you can check that out at later.com. And Later is great. It's solely Instagram, but it does give you the kind of flow. So what the images would actually look like all together as the actual Instagram layout, which is really cool when you're, you know, really focused on your branding and looking to create some kind of cool patterns and things like that. So definitely worthwhile having a look at both of those.
Yeah. Okay. That's awesome. I'm going to give a little plug to planthat.com. It's all on your phone, but it's similar to Later, I guess, because you can drag and drop your pictures and put them in a nice order. And then it just reminds you when it's time to post. So there's some great tools to use. Okay, I think that gives plenty of takeaways for you that's listening to go away and do. So as we work towards wrapping up, why don't you share with us a quote or a mantra that you work by or live by? I know you've already given us one earlier today. But, you know, when you're running your own business, you know, sometimes it can feel like you're out there on your own. What keeps you going as an entrepreneur and business owner?
Yeah. So I did give away one of mine. Luckily, I have a whole bunch that I really love. But one in particular is quite poignant, is a quote by John Lennon. And it is, everything will be okay in the end. If it's not okay, it's not the end. So I really love that because, you know, I've had challenges in my business and in life, as we all do, obviously. But that quote is like, it really helps me to kind of keep some perspective, I think, you know, just to kind of remember what's important and why we keep going. So one of the biggest things as well for me that's really helped is having a support system. So, you know, it's the key to keeping accountable. It's also the key to navigating through the rough times and as well as celebrating your wins. So I think, you know, having that support structure and having, you know, someone there to actually say to you, you know, everything will be okay. And, you know, if it's not okay now, it's going to be. And, you know, that's why I love that quote. And that's why I love to have a great network of other small business people around me constantly kind of, you know, keeping me going and picking me up when I'm down and also to celebrate each other. So, yeah.
Very cool. I love that quote. That's awesome.
I've got some great, great John Lennon ones. So my other one is, sorry, I'll give you another one.
Yeah, go on. Roll them out.
life is what happens when you're busy making other plans. So that's an interesting one, and it's very true as well, I think.
Reminding you to be present.
Yeah, exactly right. And, you know, also, you know, it kind of just being made redundant for me was such a big turning point, and I didn't realize it at the time because I was kind of, you know, in it. But you know, I was busy making all of these plans of what my life was going to be like. And now that I finally achieved my dream, and then it was kind of the rug was sort of pulled out from under me. So it was, yeah, very interesting. But yeah.
But there was a silver lining.
Ah, happy ending for sure.
All right. What about a book or webinar or another podcast that that you listen to or have read that you know will be inspiring for other business owners?
Absolutely. So again, I've got two. Sorry.
It's good.
So for the podcast, I got an interesting one that's a little bit left of center. It's called Mind Your Business, and it's by James Wedmore and Phoebe Marochek. So they actually, James Wedmore has a background in sort of video marketing, but he appeals now to just business owners in general. And he has a very interesting take on the whole hustle of business, which is really interesting to me. He talks a lot about mindfulness. He talks a lot about manifesting. He even like talks a bit about crystals and a lot of other things that are very kind of alternative when you think about how conventional business kind of, particularly, you know, podcasts and seminars and all of that kind of thing that we get involved in can be. So this is really kind of left of field. And yeah, I came across it and I love it. It's just, it's so different. So I just, yeah, I've really taken to it and I'm listening to it every week at the moment.
So Mind Your Business, James Widmore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. And then I have a book kind of on a similar tangent. So it's Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill. So it's an oldie but a goodie. It was originally written back in the 30s, I think. And it's kind of like the prequel almost to The Secret. So, you know, the whole secret thing is, you know, it's about manifesting as well and thinking about, you know, what you want your life to look like and how to take steps towards actually creating that. But one of the biggest things, again, that he spoke about in the book was about being part of a mastermind and or being part of it, like a collective of like-minded people. And so that was probably one of the most interesting things that I found from this book and obviously got me involved in masterminds, because I think being surrounded by other people who are in a similar position to you, or, you know, some are ahead and you can learn from them and some are a few steps behind and you can teach them, is just so fulfilling. So I would definitely recommend that one.
Yes, I have read that book too. And it, again, like you say, it's old and it's written quite old, but the lessons are the same. Yeah. And really interesting, you know, you've mentioned masterminds a couple of times, and this is how we know each other.
Yeah.
We are in a mastermind group together, and I am in the throes of enrolling for my own mastermind for salon owners. And I just loved what you said about, you know, the value of being in a community that you can support each other.
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes it's a little bit scary to put, if you haven't been in a mastermind before, to put yourself out there.
Oh, definitely.
To speak about, you know, often the challenges that are going on or the gaps in your knowledge. But in fact, when you do that, it comes back double fold, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Would you agree?
Absolutely. And I think, again, you know, being accountable and also just sometimes it's knowing that you're not alone on the journey, because it can get really lonely. It's almost like you're, even though you see other people kind of, you know, taking a similar path, you still can feel quite alone. And it's almost like you're reinventing the wheel a little bit. So,
sure.
You know, and that can get overwhelming, as we've talked about, you know, even just with, you know, with social media alone, but nevertheless, the rest of all the parts that go into creating a successful business.
Yeah.
So definitely having a support group of like-minded people is something that I don't think, you know, I will ever now not have in business, because it's so valuable. It's definitely, it's worth the investment. And someone actually said to me not long ago, you know, even the best athletes in the world have a team around them to help create that, to create that athlete. So it's not just the one person. It's not just Usain Bolt, you know, running. You know, it's a whole team of people who have created him as the fastest man in the world.
Same for Beyonce and the like, you know.
Oh, yeah.
They might have a singular name on the front, but they are certainly not alone.
Exactly right. And so therefore neither should we be either.
And even for business, you know, typically for hair and beauty business owners, we have a team.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't confide or rely on your team like you can other business owners, because the mindset's different.
Absolutely.
And you can be close to them, but in fact you also need to be a little bit separated so you can be the leader.
Mm-hmm.
So you need your own network of people in the same place. So.
Yeah, because people are going to understand the challenges. And I think, you know, you have that struggle with sometimes with divulging too much information, particularly with staff.
Yeah.
that you don't necessarily want to do.
No.
And, you know, having just, you know, trusted confidants really, And the best thing sometimes for me is kind of talking about an issue and then someone else going, oh my God, the exact same thing happened to me.
Yeah.
And this is what I did.
Camaraderie in that.
Yeah. Or, and this is what I did and it turned out okay.
Yeah.
Okay, great. Okay. I'm on the right page. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Look, I'm sure we could talk for hours.
We could too.
Thank you so much for sharing all of your knowledge well beyond digital strategy. It's been really awesome.
Thank you so much for having me.
So look, where can people find you? What's your dub?
So it's www.thesocialclique, so that is CLIQUE.com, and then just The Social Clique on Instagram, and I think it's the same thing on Facebook. So yeah.
Good. Well, look, thank you so much again. It's been a real pleasure.
Thank you so much. I really enjoyed it.
Thanks for joining us for another episode of the Salon Owners Collective Podcast. Tune in each week as we reveal the latest insight and advice on what it takes to make your salon a success today. Subscribe to the Salon Owners Collective Podcast on iTunes or visit us online at salonownerscollective.com for answers to your common questions, to follow Larissa, and much more. Thanks for listening. See you next time.